This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Elgin Talks, a podcast from Legal & General Investment Management. My name is Andrew Lowry, and I'm European Content Manager here at Elgin, and I'm delighted to be joined by Hedel Mehta, our Senior European Economist. And today we're going to once again be talking about events right here in the UK. We're recording this on October the 5th, 2022, and it's less than 2 weeks ago that Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng's mini-budget sent sterling plummeting, drove yields and gilts soaring, led to an emergency intervention by the Bank of England, and even led to a rare public criticism by the IMF. And at this point, some but not all of the dust has settled, so we can try and take a little stock now. Hedel, can you just remind us of the dramatic events of the past 10 days?
Yeah, hi, Andrew. You're right, it's been dramatic and a lot has actually happened in that time. So let's roll back to just before the budget. So we had a new government who had come in with a cost of living crisis going on, lots of calls for intervention to help households with their bills, which they did announce within the first couple of days. And then a lot of the expectation around the mini budget that we had on the 23rd of September was actually already announced. We had throughout the whole leadership campaign, we had heard repeatedly from Liz Truss about reversing the national insurance increase and not letting the corporation tax increase as planned. So the bulk of those announcements in the mini budget, and including that energy price guarantee, had all been well known. And it was really the new elements, so the announcement that they would abolish the 45p tax rate, and stamp duty cut, those things combined with the promise to do more tax cuts, I think, really surprised markets. Now, it's important to say that the size of those measures in fiscal terms compared to all of the other things are very, very small. But it's the message that it was sending, that more tax cuts are coming. And it was also the absence of any detail around where they would cut spending, what was going to happen in terms of fiscal prudence and how they were going to get debt to GDP falling. So it was the lack of that information as well, which created such a big reaction. And so since then we've had some Bank of England intervention. We've had some soothing words as well from the Bank of England about that they will respond in due course. But yeah, that's just a very quick summary of what we've seen.
Thanks. That's a very succinct overview of some very complex events. Can we get some broader context on just how unusual this has been? I mean, it's not every day that the market reacts so negatively to a government's fiscal package that the central bank has to step in, is it?
Yeah, you're right. It is very unusual. I think part of the issue was that we had the Bank of England meeting the day before this mini budget. The interest rate increase they delivered was a bit below what many people were expecting and what many people thought is needed in anticipation of such a strong fiscal package. So it is extraordinary for the Bank of England to have to come out very soon after. Now, they have tried to give the message that there will be no knee-jerk emergency rate hikes in response to this. They will wait until their next meeting on the 3rd of November and then fully take into account the fiscal package. And obviously since then, we have had the government announce that they will hold off on the 45p tax rate abolishment. So I think it's fair for the Bank of England to say that we will monitor things closely. The reaction we saw in sterling in particular, you know, pound tumbling to all-time lows against the dollar, and on a trade-weighted basis, very weak, unusual, and an outsized reaction to what was little new information. That's what makes this whole episode quite extraordinary.
As we stand, we've got a Treasury wanting to turn the taps on, and the Bank of England has got the long-standing goal of increasing rates, reducing the amount of money in the economy. So that boils down to fiscal policy and monetary policy being in contradiction to one another. I mean, is this a sustainable position for policymakers in the UK?
I think to answer that, we have to bear in mind what the backdrop is. So we've got very high inflation. Now, the energy price guarantee will mean that inflation is close to peaking and will gradually come down. But that comes with a big fiscal cost. But the Bank of England have to really focus on their mandate, which is inflation. And they have a horizon, which is not about inflation today or tomorrow, but really the medium term. And by that, we mean 18 months to 2 years ahead. Now, the energy price guarantee, as I've written about in our blog, will reduce the near-term inflation numbers. But it does mean that because there is some cushion to demand, that medium-term inflationary pressure actually stays a bit elevated. And that's where the Bank of England have to respond with higher interest rates. And of course, we now also have the slight issue around the credibility of the UK's framework, which is partly what the sterling reaction was questioning. They need to really underscore that they are independent and that inflation is their focus. And so, yes, it's often, the case that monetary policy and fiscal policy are pulling in the same direction, but we do see valid reasons why the government has to step in and help households, but the Bank of England also have to focus on inflation.
The government stance has recently shifted to we get it, and they've changed course in cutting the top rate of tax, but we don't yet have the report from the OBR or any other audit of these policies. And as we speak, there's even some confusion about when the government will even announce its next round of fiscal policies. Do you think this clampdown is going to be enough to calm the market?
So I think the reversal in the 45p tax, as I said earlier, is quite a small amount. So that in itself wouldn't really be enough. It will be really important for the OBR's forecasts, and they'll be pored over more than they ever have been in history, I think. The reason why they're important is because the OBR, being independent, will give its verdict on whether the government's policies are sustainable from a fiscal perspective. So it would be useful to have those to understand the costings around some of the policies as well. And of course, to the extent that we also need some fiscal rules, if the OBR forecasts are accompanied with an announcement from the government on what they're aiming for on fiscal, so debt to GDP falling, when by, and again the OBR giving their assessment of how credible that is. I think that's what's now needed to really shore up that the credibility in the UK framework.
Now, if we take a longer view, what's been going on, the market's been adjusting to higher forecast interest rates than we may otherwise have expected. Is this volatility that we've been seeing just repricing of assets in response to this? Or are we seeing adjusting to a pretty dramatically different outlook than we might otherwise have been able to expect?
So I think there are two things going on. First of all, the inflation outlook is still quite elevated. So by the end of next year, we think inflation is still going to be above 3%. Importantly, core inflation, which is what the underlying economy is experiencing, that's also expected to be above the Bank of England's target. So we do think the Bank of England needs to carry on with interest rate hikes. And so far, the pace has been, I guess, moderate compared to a number of other central banks. But then we've also got the response to the fiscal stimulus and the medium-term pressures that may arise from that. And so I think it's fair to say that the market's expecting the Bank of England to go higher. We think interest rates will get to around 4.5% and then stay there. Markets pricing something more like 5.5%, which we think in the context of the recessionary impact that may generate may be a bit too much.
Now, what's all this got to do with the price of rice? I mean, we talk about interest rates and bond markets and all these fairly abstract financial terms that in the real world can mean very little. I mean, how do you see this percolating down to the quote-unquote real economy, and what impact can we anticipate on people's everyday lives?
Well, higher interest rates really get into all of the cracks of the economy. So for savers, higher interest rates mean more interest earned, that gives them I guess that benefit, but for many people who have borrowing and for businesses, the cost of borrowing goes up, and that really starts to affect the amount of money you have left for making other purchases. So we do think higher interest rates, higher mortgage costs that come with that will start restricting people's ability to carry on spending. And also that's going to affect the housing market. We do expect a sizable correction there. But that's a natural response to interest rates picking up. We also think that as the economy starts to slow and then we enter a recession at the turn of the year, that we will start to see unemployment pick up. I have to say it's very, very low currently. We're at very historically low levels on unemployment. But as firms and households start reducing their expenditure, we should expect some pickup in unemployment as well, maybe getting to about 5.5-6%, which would still be low in a historical context, but clearly unemployment is a really big factor for people's everyday lives.
And finally, do you think this hit to the government's credibility is permanent? It's been a pretty bruising 2 weeks. Can they style it out, or do you think the market's confidence in this team has gone?
I don't think anything is permanent in markets, to be honest. So it does take a long time once you've lost credibility to regain it. My favourite phrase over the last 10 days has been, you can't put toothpaste back into the tube. And I think to some extent the bar is now higher, and this is why the OBR's report is even more important than it may have been in the past. But I think the government has a window of opportunity to get those forecasts out, get the OBR's assessment, and we should start seeing, I think, better coordination on the policy front as a result.
Hedel, thank you very much for your time. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Andrew.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488 regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.